struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. Good morning. Thursday's feeling pretty darn good, isn't it? Yeah, Mark Farrell live, not from New York City in the PRN studios. Unfortunately, today I am broadcasting from my home studio, but nonetheless, very, very happy to be with you. We have a great show coming your way, lots of compelling information, and you're going to meet Avi Golden. Avi is an incredible human being. At 33, his life changed radically. He had a stroke, and since then, we're going to hear about his journey from recovery to educating and touching hearts and souls in New York City, New Jersey, nationally and internationally as he does as a speaker. Avi's a great guy, and we connected online. That's one more reason that sometimes being on social media has good outcomes. Not all the time, but sometimes when you meet someone like Avi, it's a good thing. We're going to talk about how serendipitous it was for a musician not to give up. Almost when he did in like the 11th hour, and that really worked out for him. And unfortunately, the surge of suicides has continued to grow, but unfortunately for youth. Anyway, Mark Farrell, how are you feeling? I hope you're doing good. We're getting through this. January is almost in the rearview mirror. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I don't like when time flies all the time. But I'm not a big fan of January always because, you know, for the obvious reasons, when you're on the East Coast, it's cold, it's dark, it's kind of gloomy. It is downright depressing sometimes. But we've been pretty fortunate. I mean, we've gotten down to the low 20s for a day or two. I mean, next week we're supposed to get some heavy-duty snow, but who knows, because there's a major, major storm, I think, in the Sierras that we're just getting, you know, just pummeling people with feet and feet and feet of snow. Anyway, so we've been very, very fortunate. But the pandemic is still very ubiquitous, very real. It's omnipresent. How are you coping? Are you finding a way to stave off depression, anxiety, frustration, stress, sorrow, sadness? I mean, it is so difficult if you don't stay on top of it to remain healthy. I'm not even talking about COVID. I'm just talking about your sanity, man, because it's heavy. The burden of just going somewhere, knowing that, yes, you could get COVID and your life that could have been, you know, of concentric circles of, you know, utmost propensity or largeness are much more scaled down. So you're not getting together with friends and family. And hopefully, you know, shots are becoming more common in your life, whether it's your parents, seniors in your life. But the reality is we're still not living the life that we normally live and want to live. So it has repercussions. And certainly on kids as well as adults, because certainly we have to be the leaders. We have to keep our heads high. Of course, we want to be realistic with kids and children about the reality, to a certain extent, depending on their age, about how vital it is to remain who you are, you know, the part of who you are, your identity. For example, I work out still 4 or 5 days a week. I got a spin bike. I bought it. The downside of all this pandemic is that so many gyms are closing. The unfortunate silver lining for you, the consumer, is that a lot of equipment is available secondhand. So I was able, like you, to purchase some used equipment. So I got a secondhand spin bike, a Kaiser spin bike, because in the normal world, I teach spin at 6 a.m. 3 days a week. Anyway, so I'm able to burn off stress, and I hope you have an outlet, whether it's walking. You know, my friend told me he lost 40 pounds. We haven't spoken in probably about 8 months until recently. He lost 40 pounds just from walking 3 to 5 miles a day. He said what did it was he went on a beach right before he started losing weight, and he had a hard time walking on a loose sand. He's like, man, this has got to go. I can't live like this. And his wife was busting his chops, and sure enough, he dropped 40 pounds. That's a significant amount of weight to take off your skeletal system. I mean, just think how much more healthy you are. Your heart, how much easier it can work, being 40 pounds lighter. Anyway, so please do yourself a favor. We want you around. We value you as a PRN listener, Progressive Radio Network. You are valuable to us because we want you to experience everything life has to offer. Yeah, it is kind of a shitty time still, but we're getting through this. We're forging ahead one day, one week, one month, one new vaccine at a time, right? I mean, hey, we got Biden in office. I mean, I'm feeling still pretty optimistic, right? I mean, it's a good feeling. So the honeymoon Biden buzz for me continues. I mean, despite the spineless Senate Republicans who are not willing to articulate what a travesty Trump was and his behavior for inciting a riot, I mean, I'm still very, very confident. I mean, the new policies he's rolling out, the aggressive COVID plans. I mean, we still need more vaccine testing sites. We need vaccine sites. We need more ways to implement it. And I just heard the other day that FEMA is involved. I don't know why it's taken forever for FEMA. Well, I do know why, because of Trump. FEMA should have been involved, you know, very, very early on. The National Guard, the military, this should have all been in place. Plans to expedite the shots. And I know it's not easy. It's never been done before. But, I mean, we had months and months to figure this out. So the different variants is kind of a bummer, but I'm hopeful that with people being safe and exercising precautions with personal protective equipment and keeping 6 feet apart and waiting till you get your vaccination. I mean, that's really, really vital. That's what we all need to do. I mean, I really wish we could all click our heels and be in summertime and fall. God, I hate to say that. I would hate to miss a day in my life, but to get past the peak, I just am afraid of what February and March bring to the table. I'm just afraid of the outcome of the spike nationally because of all the variants, you know, rearing their ugly heads. But please, please, please take care of yourself. Of course, you know, you listen to Gary Noe, he talks about diet and exercise, but keeping your immune system healthy. I mean, your food, your intake can really, really have a big time effect on that area. So please do yourself a favor. Besides the exercise, you know, eat healthy. Let's get through this all together. And then if you want to put on a few pounds afterwards and eat some junk food, by all means, help yourself. But I try to, even more so than ever, eat more salmon, fish once, twice a week, fruits and vegetables. By all means, you know, I have my glass of wine or two every night because especially during this era, I find it just kind of takes the edge off. It makes me just a little bit more, relax a little bit more. And without the exercise, man, I think I would be an ugly, ugly beast that would be hard to be manageable. Hey, we all have our ugly sides, right? And I'm no exception, but that's what keeps me sane. Exercise. The gym used to be my temple. My temple is certainly my home where I have a gym and whatever I can do to get outside and exercise. Can you believe that 35 years ago today, Space Shuttle Challenger exploded? 35 years ago, I remember exactly where I was. I'm sure just like yourself. I was walking on campus in college and I just entered the student center. And everyone was circled around the TV, a big, large TV. Well, big for those days. And I was like, what's up? What's going on? And someone said, hey, what took place? I'm like, are you kidding me? I just remember my jaw seemingly hitting the floor. And you could hear a pin drop. And everyone was just watching this imagery that was just so hard to fathom and wrap your mind around. The first school teacher, Krista McAuliffe, to die. 7 astronauts. So very sad. I saw a piece recently about students that were in school who were inspired by Krista. They've all become teachers in different capacities, art teacher, history teacher, gym teacher, and how prideful they are to have had Krista as a teacher. The messaging, the significance she would put into all their lessons in preparation, because obviously she took a leave of absence before she went into, attempted to go into space and to train for, you know, being and living on the shuttle. And she would come back and she would give them lessons and show them the plans of what they were doing to ready their minds, bodies, and to her to have a, you know, a space or astronaut's acumen, to say at the least, at the minimum, right? And it was just really, really heartwarming to hear the connection of students back then, 35 years later, now as adults, seasoned professionals in the teaching educational world, to speak so highly of her and to tear up and well up, because obviously it was a major, major part of their life. I mean, think about all the schools nationally that had TVs on, gymnasiums or auditoriums filled with students watching this and relishing this moment where one of theirs was going to somewhere far beyond where many few or few persons have gone in life, and that's a teacher. And they're going to come back, Chris is going to come back and explain it to every student in the United States because every student's eyes were on her. Of course, that changed, and I remember Reagan speaking that night. I forget his words exactly, but they're really, really powerful. And he was a pretty good speaker. And I remember because he had to address the students and kids in the nation because, you know, they were all watching. And I thought he did an exceptional job of making people feel a little bit more whole, putting a good Band-Aid on the country at that moment when our wound was still wide open and kind of gushing. Sorry, hate to use that analogy, but that's kind of how it felt back then, certainly. And I thought he did a nice job. It's good to take pause. 35 years ago. Wow. And, you know, I'm sorry. You know, usually I'm a kind of a ball of a sunshine, but, you know, there's a lot of topics today that I just got to address, and I'm sorry if I'm bringing you more kind of negative news. And if you want to turn me off, it's cool, man, or just turn me back on when you want to listen to some more bright sunshine news, because obviously, you know, I'm a very optimistic person, but these are things that we need to talk about and need to address. Like, since schools have shut down in March, you know, it's just been unfathomable. The surge of students who have died by suicide in Vegas. By December, 18 students had died by suicide. Oh, man. My heart just breaks just thinking about that. They shut their doors in March, and they have not reopened them. They had something very, very cool, and this is a vital piece of technology that was in place, and I'm really glad so, because maybe the 18 could have been a higher number. They had an early warning system that monitors students' mental health. So, and they had received more than 3,100 alerts to the district offices that would raise alarms about suicidal thoughts, possible self-harm, cries for help, and they were answered. And I'm really, really glad that a system like that exists and is implemented. And so, I mean, I guess you have to walk the line. At what point do you open doors or not open doors because of all the lives that are lost? So this month, the school board gave them the green light to phase in the return of some elementary school grades and groups that are struggling, you know, students. As Greater Las Vegas continues to, you know, post huge numbers of coronavirus cases and, more importantly, deaths. I think superintendents across the nation are really struggling to weigh the benefits of in-person education against the cost of life, loss of life. Oh, man, this is just so ugly and so gruesome. On so many levels. I know the CDC earlier this week, I didn't read a lot about this, said they were supporting schools reopening. I know, I believe about 200 kids, and I don't know the age range, I guess up until high school, have died, 200 lives, and that's 200 way, way, way too many. But I mean, Mark Farrell's belief is if you vaccinate educators, you can't put them in harm's way. Have all educators, teachers, everyone vaccinated, and then let's phase in students that are willing to go back. And if students want to remain home virtually or continue doing a hybrid model, then that's fine. But we can't have kids in certain situations, especially in Vegas. I imagine in Vegas, the numbers could be so high because they're dealing with parents, dual parents that are out of work because of casinos, hotel industry, the service industry has been crushed. So, and now you have students and children home all day long. Some of them are, you know, recluses in their rooms, and they're in there studying, reading, learning, sleeping, not exercising, diets may be suffering. You know, it is a perfect, perfect, ugly storm. So I think it's time for some good news. Are you ready for some good news yet? Meet Avi Golden. Avi, as I said at the head of the show, is just a phenomenal person on many levels. And I have to apologize in advance. I recorded this last night with Avi, and he was just a ball of sunshine, speaking of optimism. But unfortunately, Zoom audio did not cooperate with me. So I apologize in advance because my microphone does not sound good. Anyway, it doesn't take any thrust away from the importance and significance of this great conversation with Avi Golden. Avi Golden, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. EMT, stroke and aphasia survivor, sports enthusiast, and a budding physician. How are you, my friend?
I'm good.
Unfortunately, all that kind of changed. Well, some of that changed in 2007 when you went in for what was typically a normal procedure back then.
Explain what happened. So basically, surgery is no big deal. About 1-2% have complications.
Whatever the type of surgery it is, correct?
Exactly. And anything else is 95% is no big deal. It's everything else. And then unfortunately I have a stroke, because I went to surgery and in the surgery I have a stroke, clotting up.
And you were 33 at the time?
Yeah. 33 years old. Yes.
So aphasia leaves you challenging communicating sometimes.
Yes. Yes. In fact, so the doctor, I wake up. I did not know it at all. I have a tube. So the doctor says, "Okay, I am going to tube out the door." And in my head, I say, "Okay, thank you, doctor, for pulling me out." And the doctor pulls me out, and I say, "Michael, Michael, Michael." I said, "What the hell is that? That's so weird." So I sneeze, I cough, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I do it again. "Doctor, thank you, doctor, for pulling me out. House is Michael, Michael, Michael." I said, "What the hell?" And the doctor says, "You have AV valve and it's very excellent work. But now, unfortunately, you have a stroke and aphasia."
So they knew that during the actual procedure?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So being an EMT, then you knew exactly what he was talking about. And also a person who was a physician who wanted to go on to medical school.
Exactly.
So what went through your mind right then? Holy cow.
Or Michael, Michael, Michael.
Yeah, or that too. Yeah, I guess so.
No, actually, I don't know. About 3 or 4 months is very foggy. Very like disorganizing. But I understand aphasia. I mean, I understand what's going on.
Internally you do.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have a little bit of a challenge communicating. As right. Listeners can hear, you communicate it very well.
Right. Well, yes. But also, first of all, so my arm is nothing.
Your right side.
Yeah.
Still to this day.
Still today. Thank God I am walking, but is limping. Not limping, but is walking-ish. But also,
you walk without any assistance?
No, thank God.
Great.
Everybody is different, but for me is just walking alone and it's okay. But 3 months I was in the hospital, 4 months I was in the hospital, 3 months in the bed because my arm and my leg was weak. So OT, PT, and speech pathology working with me together. So 1 year, all I can say is Michael, and I have no idea, even today, what is Michael? Like,
that's your alter ego.
Yeah.
clearly it's your alter ego.
Something like that. and then is a cane for 6 months after the cane, 6 months of cane, and then thank God for me, no cane. Now I am working with a speech pathology to get every day, even today, working with a speech pathology 5 days a week. But also I am speaking with a speech pathology together, talking about aphasia with EMS, police, firemen, and the hospital around the country.
So now you're an aphasia advocate.
Yeah, I think
among
so.
Many other things.
And
that's
yeah.
Incredible. So you were in rehab for much time. And how were you feeling mentally? Were you feeling like, wow, my world is kind of crashing? I possibly can't be an EMT anymore. Can I be a physician? Can I go to medical school? Can I fall in love?
So
all these logical questions.
It's true, but it's true. So first of all I could say is Michael, but friends, family, co-workers, doctor, nurses in the ER come to the my hospital to say hi. Hey, how are you? Nice to see you. And I say, Michael. Before I was, it's the same thing with me today. I am happy and smiling as well. So it's good.
So your personality hasn't changed at all.
Right.
And you're still a dashing, handsome man as well.
Well, this is true. See,
I speak the truth, my friend.
Also now I teach, not teach. I'm not me personally, but I have aphasia. Aphasia is like my speaking ability. So I come with a speech pathology together, talking with EMS or hospital around the country, not just the world, not just USA, but around the universe. World.
Fantastic.
To speak. So
how does that make you feel?
I think it's really good because they like for example, ER is 1 or 2 hours and then the person are going to another room. Mm-hmm. So they don't know, what's going on.
Sure.
So they understand more than before because I speak before the stroke, after the stroke, and later on. So it's good.
Now, do you also have audience members who are aphasia experienced in terms of being left with a bit of a challenge communicating? So you have a captive audience and like-minded and like experienced persons. Like when I speak to persons with all types of disabilities. I actually think everyone in this world has a disability, whether it's, we all have limitations. So that must have a great, great response to people who are maybe not far down the road as you are and don't know what they're capable of because their confidence has been hampered. But here you are, you are either in the United States or outside the States speaking to audiences that could really, really benefit from your experience.
Yes, absolutely. And that's good because the doctors, nurses understand what's going on with the patient. But also I am going to speak with people with disability or people with aphasia or people with, whatever. And I talk about my story and then also is disability sport because for me, I love sports. So I am not working because is to not speaking ability is speaking. So I am not working. So the sports is more sports because is not working. So for example, I was going to swim with pigs. And
wow, you can't make that up. Swim with pigs. That sounds like a great movie title.
I know. unfortunately, the weather is poor, so they canceled me, and I'm so sad. So, but yeah. So, so then I speak and I say, please, you can come with me together and either laugh or work or together with ski, snowboarding, hiking, skydiving.
Experience sports and life.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are doing it after the stroke or after the disability.
Absolutely. Why not? So with a Bachelor of Science in Biology, is it still in your interest to go to medical school?
So in my head, in my head,
mm-hmm.
I say I'm going to go to medical school, ER. Now I don't know whether I'm doing it because it's 5, 10, 11, 12, 13, 13 and a half years later, but in my head, I said, I'm going to do it. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
Are you intimidated by it?
No.
Good. Good for you. So what's holding you back?
Is speaking. is just speaking and learning, because the medical school is four years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years is just classroom every day, all day long, every time. And it's very hard. It's very, a lot of work.
Sure. It could be growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiresome. But imagine what your bedside manner would be. Phenomenal. I mean, first of all, you're an EMT. You have a lot of practical experience, field experience, more than most, I imagine, med students would ever have entering. And also your experience with aphasia. You communicate a little bit differently, but I think that would be to your asset for patients. Before you had your aphasia and stroke, what was your ideal target of medicine to go into? Or did you have one by then?
Oh, yeah, ER.
Absolutely. Oh, ER. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That's a very fast, heavy duty, jump into action portion of the medical field.
Yeah. So my father, he was a radiologist. Radiologists, like, who cares, whatever. But
that's an important part of medicine.
Maybe. No. I'm
joking. Well, not for you.
But in New York City, about 70% is garbage. 30% is good, but, you know, whatever. And then 10% is very fast paced, like really chop, 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 chop.
Sure.
So, but I really enjoyed the ER.
What is it about medicine that initially attracted you to the field? Helping people?
Well, yeah. I mean,
it seems like you're very much a benevolent and people person and kind human being who wants to be there for people.
Sure.
That says it all?
Yeah. Says it all. So, yeah.
What was your personal life like before your stroke? Were you in a relationship?
I am alone, is single, but yes, a lot of friends, or girlfriends a long time ago. But even today, I talk with a lot of EMS or police, you know, say hi and stuff like that. So it's a lot of friends. And after the stroke, more friends, because I email EMS or police and I say, is okay to speak as well about aphasia?
And, great.
Yeah. And a lot of people.
Are they receptive?
About half of them. Yeah. Half of them.
Well, that's a pretty good number.
Sure.
I mean, we'd like to obviously have it at 75%, 90%. But that's great. So now, not only are you speaking about aphasia, you're speaking about empowerment. You're speaking about inspiration. You're opening doors for people. And that's got to really fuel you.
Sure.
You're very, very humble, my friend.
No, just, you know,
when you come back from giving a talk, how do you feel? Put it that way. Like $1 million?
No. No. You know what? No, that it's wrong. I feel not good. But I'm feeling, they're good, because I saw people who have disability or mm-hmm. OT and PT really understand what is aphasia and disability sport. And disability sport is filled with a lot of things to do. And that's good. Like that's, I
absolutely,
say.
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
But you're giving people hope and opportunity, filling them with passion possibly. But I imagine, like my wife and kids always know, when I come home, obviously that I love radio and I work at a rock station as well. But when I come home from giving a talk, whether it's to five people or 500 or 5,000, I am just filled with energy. They're like, whoa, Dad, okay, bring it down, buddy, bring it down. Because the power to connect with another human being on any level, whether I'm just going to Dunkin' Donuts and have a great conversation behind a plastic shield nowadays, or whether I'm speaking virtually to the state of New Jersey, which I did recently for the New Jersey Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I hosted the entire 110th anniversary, and just connecting with people, whether they're a consumer or just a colleague, is just, it's almost indescribable.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do get some of that. You're just being extremely modest and humble. Yeah. So what are the most common feedback, questions, and struggles besides for aphasia colleagues or other people who struggle with aphasia besides communicating?
So communicating is first.
Yes, first order. And foremost, yeah.
But then, so like people with aphasia is speaking, but then also people with disability, kids, you know, wheelchair, blind, you know, stuff like that, talking about disability sports, but also OT students or PT students or speech pathology students understand more than before because they see the book, but understand what is aphasia, but don't really understand what's going on until me and three or four people who has aphasia speak about their story. And they understand more because I am here. So yeah.
Avi Golden is my guest. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. Thank you so much for your incredible candidness today, Avi. And I wanted to ask you, in terms of stroke patients, how common or uncommon is aphasia?
Actually, yes, it's
extremely.
Stroke is 100%, and aphasia is roughly 45%.
Of stroke victims experience aphasia.
Yeah. But
now, in terms of having aphasia, are you more of the high functioning aphasia? Again,
everybody is different, but for me, I don't know. I think yes, because I am working every day, 5 days a week, with a speech pathology. So whether I'm just speaking more or just or you know, speaking more. Maybe
fluently. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh yes. The opportunity to speak more. Do you find that certain times of the day, certain moods or certain topics are easier for you to communicate?
Yep. Absolutely.
What's the easiest thing for you to talk about?
Oh no, for me, everything else, everybody, I am speaking normally. I am me. So I am speaking with everything you want, speaking about me store. So it's myself, but many people is shut down because it's either private or, you know, whatever.
You're embarrassed.
Yeah. Or embarrassed. But for me, who cares? I don't care.
Great for you. Well, you know, it's understandable that, you know, think about the pandemic alone. People can experience a lot of different mental illness.
Yes.
Now, if you have a disability aside from the pandemic,
right,
that, you know, you were out there every day working with people on the streets of New York City, saving lives and giving first aid, medical attention on your way to medical school. So stroke happens, aphasia happens, and you could understand, I imagine, and maybe you did have a downward mental spiral and experience depression. And like any disability, there is a grieving period. I was born with a rare visual impairment. So I've known this way all my life. This is normal for me to have a left eye that almost doesn't have any vision and a right eye to have 20/200 vision. So this is normal for me, but it's different when you're 33 years of age and, you know, earning good money and in the thriving metropolis of New York City, you know, doing what you're passionate about and having a bright, bright future. It's understandable how someone can get crestfallen and have a episode of depression.
In fact, yeah, people with aphasia, about half of them, maybe more, is a lot of depression. And in fact, for me, I also was having a depression as well, because I say, oh no, what's going on? I'm no talking and arm and leg is nothing. What I doing here? And then I was crying one or two times, but then I said in my head, I want to do it again. I want to go to medical school. I really want to do it, but I want to speak about aphasia,
publicly.
Publicly. So I think that's it. I mean, I work and I laugh because it's funny, because the speech pathologist, okay, I'm going to say dog and you repeat dog. I say, okay. So speech pathologist, dog. And I say cat. And I say, wait, no, that's wrong. Or cat is correct. Or, you know, it's weird.
Is that frustrating, or you just laugh and shrug it off?
Shrug it off.
Good.
Because it's funny. And people with speech pathology laugh as well, because it's funny for me, for them. But then I am also speaking with EMS or hospital or with a speech pathologist together, mm-hmm. talking about aphasia. So that's good. And just disability sport is amazing as well. Yeah.
When do you find yourself being most like Avi Goldin from when you were 33, when you're doing sports, when you're behind a podium, when you're doing an interview?
Basically, you know, I speak, or it's called National Aphasia Center. No, it's wrong. Is a speech pathology
organization.
Yeah. So I speak as well to speak about my story, and a lot of people interested, and maybe one or two times go to Facebook or LinkedIn and me.
Awesome. Great.
Together with LinkedIn. So
great.
And
doing sports must be very freeing for you as well.
I think so too.
What's your favorite sport now?
It's two. One is skydiving.
Whoa. Okay. Wasn't expecting that one. Why not? Right. Free as a bird.
Why not? And by the way, please, you can come to skydiving, because
I can't anymore. I did it once before I had kids, but now that I have kids, I swore to my wife that I wouldn't do it again.
How about indoor skydiving? How about that?
Sign me up. I'll be there.
Okay.
Because the floor is only like 20 feet away.
No, it's like five. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I can handle that.
Michael.
It's in like a little dome with.
Yeah, dome. Yeah.
No, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever done gliding where you're towed up behind a plane?
Yes.
I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was the closest thing to being a bird human being could ever feel. Absolutely beautiful and stunning.
It's amazing. And I have the video, but basically tow truck taking me out to 3,000 feet.
Wow.
And then, and the, is a pilot, me and a pilot,
mm-hmm.
brother, and then to the 3,000 feet, the tow pilot, separate. And then that's it. And you can have a good time for the rest of you. Yeah.
Outstanding. Rock and roll. So now you're based in Kew Gardens, Queens. Is this something you do in Long Island?
New Jersey, but yeah, it's 1 hour away, and it's amazing. It's amazing. It's called Freedom Wings is the name, is the website, and you can go, and it's free, meaning about 3/4, it's free, or like $5. It's like very near thingy. And then $1.4 pays money. Like, for example, No Barriers Summit is a disability sports. So it's...
Is that in Colorado?
No, it's around the world.
Oh, it is. Oh, fantastic.
So...
And that's founded by, I'm sorry to interrupt you, by Eric. I forget Eric's last name. He was the first person who was blind to summit Mount Everest. Extraordinary human being.
Amazing. Amazing. Absolutely.
And you know what the funny part is that, you know, even if you're not blind or visually impaired, you can't see anything at the top of Mount Everest anyway. So it's not like he missed out. I think I mentioned to you, I interviewed Eric years ago when I was working for another media outlet that served persons with disabilities, and he was an incredible individual.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Bobby Golden, when you are thinking about something in your head, saying like, oh, this Mark Farrow guy, he's a real asshole. Do you think linearly like that? Or does it get lost in the audible aspect of aphasia?
I think aphasia is speaking.
In your head, you sound fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's...
How long did it take you to get accustomed to almost the lost in translation part? Because it's in your cerebellum, your cranium, your head, but your ears are hearing this other dialogue that's coming out. And you're like, that's not how I plan this sentence.
So basically for me, again, everybody is different, but for me, one year. And then 2 months I was in the hospital, or in 6 months, 4 months in the hospital and 2 months in my house. And then Mona Greenfield is a speech pathology. So she and a lot of speech pathology students work with me. And it's in the long time ago is dog, cat, rock. And I said rat or blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I am speaking and visualizing and stuff like that. So it's...
Does that help?
Yeah. I mean, yes, but yeah, yes. Oh, really?
So now your right side, your right arm is impaired. Is your left hand very free and responsive?
Yeah. Thank God.
So
thank
can you type with your left hand?
No.
You choose not to, or you can't?
I am not able to type.
What, before your stroke, were you right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
So obviously you've learned to compensate to a certain degree with your left hand.
Yes. Yeah.
But your health was good prior to that?
Yeah.
You were fit, good diet?
Yeah, absolutely. I work, I play. I mean, I like sports. Mm-hmm. Not football, baseball. I don't like that, but like skydiving or, you know, whatever. It's all good. But it's 1-2% has complications.
Yeah, sure. Because you also did some non-traditional therapy. But what advice would you give to somebody who has aphasia, who's newly diagnosed with it?
First of all, a lot of people in the hospital very confusing. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff.
Sure. Difficult time.
Yeah, but I think for in the hospital, the doctor and the nurses and the PAs and a speech pathology work with them, with me, with other people with aphasia, and work, but also every day try to say, I know it's hard to communicate, but just work, and have a good time. but a lot of people are sad. But maybe 6 months in the future, 6 months after the stroke, maybe me or a lot of people will come to the hospital or come to and teach about my story or disability sport to understand more than before. So people with aphasia or people with disability say, oh, that's really cool. I mean, now I have disability, but who cares, because it's having a good time as well. Like, let's go onward.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
You have understood, learned, and still making a better version of Avi Golden right now. And obviously everybody is a work in progress. Like, if you're not growing, you're dying. It doesn't matter whether you have an apparent disability or not. We all have to work to become a better version of ourselves.
Exactly.
And for some, it's, you know, more challenging and maybe different limitations. But then the hurdles are greater, but then the satisfaction sometimes is greater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. When you speak to another person with aphasia, do you have a friend or a buddy or a partner that has aphasia that you communicate with? And do you find that you're a lot of similarities in terms of the communication portion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I go in the hospital to visit people with aphasia.
And you used to be fluent in Hebrew, correct?
Yeah. So my mother is Israeli. So now, before I was learning in Israel for 3 years studying, and then I have a stroke. So I, thank God, I understand Hebrew, but I don't now speaking, reading, or writing anymore. But I am working with a speech pathology in Hebrew to working, but it's very hard.
Have you been back to Israel since the stroke?
Oh yeah.
Great.
Every year, and except for viruses, I go to Israel for 1 month to speak with speech pathology to EMS or hospitals.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Oh, great. Your motivational speaking and advocacy takes you to Israel.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So
no grass grows under your feet, Avi Golden.
Yes.
Fantastic. What's next? What would you like to do? Besides continuing, obviously, your great platform.
Well, I really enjoy to go for Washington, D.C. to speak in Knesset, but we'll see.
Yes, I applaud you for that. And you should have that as a goal, because that's attainable.
Yeah, but it's hard. I mean, people who don't realize what aphasia is, sorry. Before the stroke, I know that it's aphasia is like my their speaking ability, but I don't care, because it's, for example, for me, as paramedic textbook is 1,000 pages, is huge. So like surgery or cutting or heart attack and stuff like that, but not aphasia. Aphasia is like this much. But after the stroke, now I understand more than before. So I really like to speak with cabinet or whatever to understand what aphasia is, really. So we'll see.
Have you found yourself growing and or have grown in a different capacity that you've never would have thought of or experienced if you hadn't had a stroke and aphasia?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Maturity, appreciation.
No, I mean, I also, before the stroke, I also is having a good time together, but not I am not speaking anymore, meaning before the stroke, I never, ever, ever that I'm speaking. I am not speaking ability because I'm talking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the stroke, it's hard. But now I am speaking with medical school or medical, like ER,
mm-hmm.
and talking about aphasia so they understand more.
Sure.
So it's good. It's good.
So yeah. It seems to me that you were an outgoing, affable person prior to your stroke, and you certainly are now as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That must fuel you as well, because I imagine, you know, there's certain different diseases that can rob us of a lot of different things in life. But yeah. The core of who we are is very, very important. And you still certainly have the core, and maybe even more of a core since your stroke, because you're able to communicate more widely than being an EMT specialist in New York City. Now, your patients / audience is the world. That's yeah. pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank God. Thank God. So you know, and sports, I love sports. So disability sport for me is phenomenal. So like, for example, No Barrier Summit is a disability sport, like Eric, who is president, and he is blind. So a lot. So 3 days in the morning, skiing, snowboarding, hiking, skydiving, scuba, whatever you want. And then in the evening, people who has disability, people speak about their story. So, and it's so fascinating, so unbelievable, like, wow, like.
Oh, absolutely. The camaraderie is just amazing.
Yeah.
Common thread that's weaved in between all our stories and lives.
Exactly.
And Abilities Expo, we talked about, is national, but happens to come into the New York metro area in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I think it was virtual this past year. But what a great way to come together. And actually, we've had the founders on my show before to speak about the great platform, the services, the materials, the items that are for sale and available, and the speakers and the merchandise are just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Avi Golden, I applaud you on every level for all the work that you've done pre-stroke, and certainly the tremendous work you've done on yourself and to support the community and people worldwide, regardless of their disability. Very impressive.
Yeah. Thank you, but don't worry. Go to disability sport and have a good time.
Avi Golden, what a great guy, right? Oh my God, just tremendous. Love Avi. So I want to end on a really, really high note. Thad Cockrell almost quit his music career. Yeah, Thad Cockrell. He was bummed out because he had done an album in the summertime. Obviously, the pandemic hit. He wasn't able to tour and support. And he's a Nashville-based singer-songwriter. So he was 48, and he's like, you know what? This is it. He sent an email to his manager, and he said, you know what? In his own words, he said, my career has flatlined, and it's time to find another career. Are you kidding me? Like, that's crazy. I mean, it's totally understandable. And then guess what happened? The next day, his manager called and said, Jimmy Fallon wants you to play on the Tonight Show. This is the craziest story. Jimmy Fallon was in his local hardware store, Shazammed the song, and found out that the singer was Thad, and then reached out to his management. And then Thad appeared on Jimmy Fallon, virtually, of course, and played with The Roots. The Roots were his backing band. How amazing is that? So that just goes to show you that despite a pandemic, despite over 400,000 people dying, that there is a silver lining of some sort. Keep up the fight, folks. Stay strong, stay healthy, stay positive. Do whatever you need to do. Remember, I was talking about, you know, a couple of weeks ago when people were like, well, I didn't accomplish my, you know, 2020 resolutions. Who cares? You made it through. You are here. You crossed the finish line. And every day we get through this, you know, blank storm together, that's a success story. Let's hang in there. Let's all be Thads and whatever it is in music world, in your business world, in your personal life. Let's succeed together. My name is Mark Farrell. As always, it is a super privilege to be with you each and every Thursday. Gary Noel is next with a terrific show. Thanks to Jesse Funk and everyone at the Progressive Radio Network, especially you for always coming back and listening to Insight and all the other great shows here. Thanks to my special guest, Avi Golden. And again, thanks to you. My name is Mark Farrell. Have a great day.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kids' school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.